You know, you've got to love how this parable starts out. To read another version of the scriptures, it says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. And I think in many ways, much hasn't changed. There have always been those who think they're better than others, who turn up their nose at people that don't meet up to their standards. And I think that comes kind of natural, doesn't it? There are those who are in, and there are those who are out. I think in early middle school or even earlier, it was the first time I noticed that some of the children weren't being treated the same by the teachers and by the principals in school. I think there are some of us have maybe felt like we're on the outside our entire lives. Some of us feel like we just don't fit in. Maybe we were never good at telling jokes, so we became the punchline. Maybe in the first grade or second grade, we were put in a class where the slow readers were instead of the advanced. Maybe we were the ones that were bullied on the playground or in the neighborhood. And today we have something called cyberbullying. And that's led to some of our children committing suicide. You might wonder why. What's the reason? These kids had been made to feel like they're not as good as someone else. And so, as scripture says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. And it's a parable about a God who does not play favorites, who loves all people. How many of you have ever driven past a homeless person who has a sign that says, we'll work for food? I drove by one right down here at the bridge the other day. He had a grocery cart full of stuff with a sign. And I was in a little economy car, and I wondered how I could fit that grocery cart in the car. So I didn't stop and pick him up. But how many times have we driven by someone who had a sign that said, we'll work for food, and felt a little disgust in your heart toward them? How many of us have ever felt when they see someone like that, that I'm a little better than you are? How many of us feel superior to the prostitute, to the poor, to the marginalized, the outcasts, those who suffer serious mental illnesses? How about that fallen politician or that TV evangelist that we see so many times that have lost their way? Even the murderer, the rapist. To those who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told a parable. And in that parable, we see a Pharisee standing in a prominent place in the middle of the temple. And he's praying in his well-practiced voice, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And at that very same time, we see the tax collector probably standing in the corner, in the rear somewhere, maybe even trying to hide behind a pillar. He's not showing off. He's not trying to get the attention of others so they can see him. I can see him looking down, staring blankly at his feet with tears coming down his eyes. And he gasps out, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus says, "I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God." You know, this is a parable of reversal. This story turns the usual standard of human society on its head. Those listening to Jesus would have never expected the story to turn out this way. They would have expected Jesus to say exactly the opposite. We all know that Jesus had his quarrel with the Pharisees. But at the end of the day, even Jesus has got to admit that the Pharisees are really good at righteous things. There's no one who can keep the law like a Pharisee. The Pharisee's the big man on campus. And he boasts, "I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of my income. And add those to my huge collection of ritual laws that I obey each day. And you've got a spiritual heavy hitter, a slugger, a veritable Babe Ruth of religious law." Standing off to the side is a tax collector. He's probably the most hated and reviled member of Jewish society. We have to remember that at this point in time, Israel was not independent. It had become a colony of Rome, a nation under military occupation. And the people groan and stagger under the tax burden of King Herod and of the emperor. Israel doesn't have an internal revenue service. There's no tax laws to ensure at least that there's some degree of fairness. All of Israel is a network of freelance tax collectors, turncoat Jews working for the king and for Rome, whose job is to squeeze out as many shekels as they can possibly extort. And every tax collector has a quota to meet. And whatever he can collect over and above the quota is his commission, and there's no limit to it. It's a license to steal. The first century tax collector is kind of like the sheriff of Nottingham in the story of Robin Hood. He's got tons of power. He's widely hated and feared, and no one can stop him. So knowing this and knowing what we do about Pharisees and tax collectors, it's hard to imagine Jesus' listeners expecting any other answer than this. The Pharisee is justified before God, but the tax collector had better mean what he say, or it's a lake of fire for him. So when Jesus declares that the tax collector is justified, and the Pharisee's not, he's really turning the tables on them. And you know, that's a relief for me. And it should be a relief for you to know that we can't measure up. But I can imagine the crowd gasping. Says that. I think back on when I was a kid. I used to like to roughhouse with my brother and the other boys in the neighborhood. We'd wrestle and we'd have a good time. And when you were having a wrestling match or a fight and one was getting the upper hand, you remember what you always said? How many of you remember what you said? I always said, "Uncle." I'm sure, I see some heads nodding. That's what you say when you beat. You say, "Uncle." And the fight's over. Everyone gets up, they brush themselves off, and they might even shake hands. So the word uncle is very similar, and it means the same thing as mercy. It means I'm beat, it's over. I'm pinned, I can't recover. It means I can no longer help myself, so you help me, please. Uncle. Or mercy. That's the very prayer that the tax collector is uttering in the temple. Who knows what this tax collector has been going through in his life? He may have hit rock bottom. We don't know what depth of repentance has brought him to this place. So as Jesus tells the story, Jesus leaves no room to doubt that this tax collector's repentance is real. And there's not any more that this tax collector can add to this simple prayer, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." That says it all. And God is merciful. That's something we all can count on in life. Jesus went to the cross so we can count on his mercy in our life. When it comes to those times in our lives when we've made serious mistakes, we can repent and rely on the mercy of God. And many of us have come to trust in that mercy and know that it's available to us and that it's always going to be there and all we have to do is ask for it. But when it comes to others, the situation sometimes appears to be very different. Not everyone's so eager to see mercy offered to that big name politician who's made a mistake. Or when we ourselves are the ones who've been wronged, we're not so quick to ask for mercy for the one who wronged us. Notice in the scripture that the tax collector gives no reason why he should receive mercy. He makes no argument in his defense. Unlike the Pharisee who's busily preparing his legal brief, listing his life's achievements in full detail, the tax collector simply sobs and beats his breast. He knows that sin is beating him up, and he knows he can't beat that sin on his own. He knows he must fully rely on the grace of God. His love. The lesson that the Pharisee has not yet learned, that he too is dependent on the mercy of God. And because this tax collector is not able to be merciful the Pharisee is not able to be merciful to the tax collector. He's blinded to the similarities of himself and the tax collector. Both of these men are human beings. Both are sinners in the need of grace. But the Pharisee's self-righteousness separates him from his neighbor and from God. And one of the vitally important truths of Christianity is that in drawing near to God, we also draw near to one another. We come to see that we're all in the same boat and that God loves each one of us equally. And it's a great love, greater than any of us could ever imagine. It shows no favoritism. Rich, poor, beggar, white collar, blue collar, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. God loves us all equally. We are all fundamentally human. And in the presence of God, all people are one. Christianity has always had a special message for the poor and the marginalized, as well as for the rich and the powerful and the self-righteous. And it's a supernatural message. It goes so far against the grain of what we would ordinarily think. It's wisdom from above. And it is foolishness to those who look down on everybody else. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector guide us to a place of prayer where we can meet God. In that way, we can begin our prayer with God, "Have mercy on me, sinner."